Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and thank you for joining us. I'm Maddie Playle, joined by Nick Watts, Tom Siegel and Darren Hughes for this Monday postcast. We've had an eventful weekend of action, plenty of Cheltenham clues and maybe even a winner or two, who knows. We had two hat-trick heroes in Altiore and Native River running at Newbury, as well as, well, a very dramatic Betfair hurdle that I'm sure we're going to hear plenty about. Let's kick off then with our review before we look ahead to Ascot and Grade 1 action this weekend. Newbury is the place to start, and in the first race, Chantry House was a cosy winner. Does his lack of graded experience worry you going into Cheltenham, Watsy? What did you think of his performance?
I liked it. There wasn't much not to like it. It reminded me of Shishkin when he won at Newbury, to be honest. If you know, looked at them both from the last to the line, they're both very, very strong. One with any amount in hand. I'd say it's quite an easy task for Chantry House last weekend. He didn't beat much of note, but if you go back to his previous win when he won at Cheltenham, much more impressive because he beat Stolen Silver, who's since come out and won a Grade 2. A horse called Pillion finished fourth that day of Philip Hobbs's. He's won his next two as well, so the form of that stacks up. I mean, as for going forward, it's one of those thorny dilemmas that faces anti-post punters these days. Where do these Hendo horses fit in? I'm sure we're going to come on to Shishkin later. You know, they're almost identical. I think they can either go for the Supreme or the Ballymore. There's plenty of stamina in Chantry House's pedigree. He's by Yates and related to Stayers, so a step up in trip wouldn't bother him at all. And it's just one of those, you know, how does he fit and where does he go? And Hendo has run two against each other in the Supreme before. Altior and Bouverdere both ran in the same Supreme. Different owners, they could both go for the same race. Very hard to pick between the two.
Okay, so quite a positive assessment from Watsy then. Darren, you and I were talking about this beforehand and we weren't necessarily bowled over with the strength of the form. What did the market say for Chantry House's Cheltenham prospects?
So we left him unchanged at 15-2 for the Supreme Novice Hurdle, and for the Ballymore, we've just gone 8-12. Yeah, I thought he was fine. I'd agree with Nick's assessment that his Cheltenham form from the time previous is probably a better tool with which to judge him. This was just fine. I think he just did what he had to do. He wasn't overly extended to do it. The horse that finished second, as we said beforehand, wouldn't be the most, maybe not the most genuine or the strongest finisher in the world. That would kind of make a question of the form. But at the same time, he was in no way extended to out and win. So he just did what he had to do. It's a nice pipe opener ahead of Cheltenham next month. They needed to get him back out again. So yeah, I would say fine if he might.
Yeah, Tom, you spoke earlier on last week's pod about how you like horses to have sort of easy preparations like this as opposed to hard, maybe even Grade 1 assignments. Chantry House, how does he fit into your sort of list of novice hurdlers?
He's one of many. Going back a long time, Alpha Off won the same race in a very similar fashion, beating no horses at all, and then went on to win the Supreme. He's banging there. He's a good horse, isn't he? He looked good. He travelled well. He jumped well. He finished well. You know, I don't know how good he is really. And I think the market's probably slightly overreacted. I remember when Alpha Off won, he was a big price to win the Supreme Novice. And, you know, with the likes of Shishkin and Asterion, whatever it's called, and all those other ones in Ireland, I think he's probably a little bit short on what he's done.
Okay.
But he's right in there. I don't know how good he is. And I don't think no one does.
Yeah, indeed, that's true. I guess lots of potential there for sure. Altior, now, for me, this was textbook Altior. He got back to maybe not his best, but he got back to winning ways in the Game Spirit, now under a different title, sponsored by Betfair, of course. Good efforts from So Royal and Dynamite Dollars in behind. Tom, for me, as I said, this was exactly what I was expecting. Was it what you were expecting?
I thought it was the best I'd seen Altior since last year's Tingle Creek. I thought the way he sprinted into the last and sprinted home was something that I hadn't really seen for a bit. I thought he'd been a bit lethargic for well over a year now. And I thought that put him right bang in the Champion Chase picture. And I think he's the one to beat now, for sure.
As sort of a former winner, do you think then he's probably a shade big in the market?
No, because it's a better race than the ones he's running. He's about right. I think he should be favourite. I think As I say, I thought he was right back to his best, but he's a 10-year-old now, taking on two very good up-and-coming horses. It's a tougher task for him. Do I think he'll win? I think he probably will win. Yeah, I just think, as I've always said, he's the best two-miler I've ever seen. Better than Sprinter's Sacre, in my opinion. And when he's on a going day, and when he's right, and when he jumps properly, I don't think any horse can beat him. So, for me, I was delighted with him on Saturday. I thought what he did from the last home was properly impressive. And yeah, I'd have him to beat the other two at the moment.
Mm. That's always key with Altior, isn't it, Watsy? That last sort of furlong after the final fence. Were you alarmed with what you saw before then? Because a couple of big jumps put him back a bit, but he overcame that, as he always tends to do.
Yeah, he can throw in a big jump sometimes, kind of, you know, like kind of over big, really, where he doesn't get much momentum out of the fence. But I suppose there is a moment of alarm too, out bearing in mind what happened at Ascot the time before. He'd had a hard race, and you know, this is his first race since then, so you kind of wondered what was in the tank. But I mean, he answered those questions emphatically, as Tom said, showed the old turbo was still intact, and you know, the way he loomed up at the last, you know there's a sense of inevitability about it after he got over that, and he sprinted home one quite readily. The only point I'd make, he adds a fascinating conundrum to the Champion Chase, of course. Now he looks something back to his best, but I always think Newbury suits him absolutely perfectly. I think that long home straight just gives him time to wind up.
Agreed.
And he's always looked very, very good at Newbury. And it sounds a stupid thing to say, because obviously he's been to Cheltenham so many times and he's won so many times, but you would by no means say that he was impressive when he won last season's Champion Chase. His flat spot is kind of accentuated at Cheltenham, it seems. I remember when he beat Min looked a certain winner rounding the home turn, and then of course the turbo kicked in again, and like it does, and he went on and won cosily. But the proximity of So Royal and Politolog in last season's Champion Chase means that
they're not as good as Shaq and Bossoir and Defi de Soy, are they?
Yeah, I mean, for me going forward, Defi de Soy, and I really hope Connections don't play it safe and go for the Ryanair. I hope that despite what they saw on Saturday, despite the fact they might be a little bit more worried than they once were, you know, the races he's been winning this season, you've got to give him a go in the Champion Chase, surely. And I still, for my purposes, I'd still be with Defi just about. Great that Altior's back. And just another thing as well, he's a 10-year-old now, and whereas 10-year-olds and older don't really tend to win Gold Cups, it's not age, in an older age, isn't so much of a handicap in the Champion Chase. We saw Moscow Flyer win one. I think it was an 11-year-old. Martha's Son has won at 10. There's loads of examples of horses, you know, 10 years and older winning Champion Chases, so age wouldn't rule him out. But I think for me, Defi might just have the legs of him this time.
Well, I agree with Watsy. He's 6 from 6 at Cheltenham. He's never been beaten. He's won 5, I think 4 grade ones there. You know, to say he doesn't, he's not great, I don't know.
It's a mad thing to say, like I said. It's just when he goes to Newbury, he looks absolutely amazing, and he doesn't quite look at it last year.
You take last year's out, and you throw last year out. That's what I'm doing. I just don't think he was the same horse. I really don't. Okay. I thought the Henderson horses weren't great all last season. I think they're in much better form now. I just think if you throw out last season and go back to what he was doing in, you know, in the Champion Chase before, when he beat Min by miles and the Supreme and the Arkell, I don't have any worries about Cheltenham. I just think he was wrong last year, and I think he looked right back to his best to me.
Henderson seems to think there'll be plenty of improvement there. Darren, personally, I think it would be an absolute travesty if Defi went for the Ryanair. Just refreshers on those prices.
It would, of course, yeah. And I should have said at the head of the show, we went non-runner, no bet on every race at Cheltenham Festival as of 10 o'clock this morning as well. So these prices are reflective of that. Altior is our 15-8 favourite. He was 7-2 last week prior to the Game Spirit. We went 9-4 immediately after the race. We had our heads chopped off pretty quickly. Defi de Soy is 2-1 from 7-4. Shaq and Bossoir is 5-2. Aptu Tarda 6s. Turnem is 8s. Undeso is 10s. Kilos Emery's 10s. Min is 10s. And it's 20s and bigger the rest.
Brilliant. And what was your analysis of him?
This is brilliant. This is so, so good. There was that, as Watson alluded, there was that slight moment of worry at second or third last. He kind of looked, he wasn't going to hit top gear, but once he did, he's just a different fast. I agree with what Tom said as well. I think his back was best. This is as good as I've seen him in a long, long time. Really, really impressed. He's definitely the one to beat in the market now. You asked his 15-8 value. I think so. I think he's more of a 5-4 shot. I think the other two have a fair bit to go to get up to his level, and whether they do it or not, I don't know. But 15-8 Altior is more than fair. I think he's the one they have to come and get, and I haven't seen anything to suggest that they're able to do that just yet.
Okay, so from one hat-trick hero to another, Native River, again, did what he had to do in the Denman Chase. Again, that was his third win in the race, and Watsy, this horse has been a real friend to the people in recent years, and it was great to see him do what we know he does best.
Yeah, I mean, he did what you expected him to do. The opposition wasn't great. Mike Bite is on the downgrade, certainly not the horse that, you know, they served up a great duel a couple of years ago in the Gold Cup. He's not in that kind of form these days. New jockey on Native River, which was interesting, seemed to respond very well to John Joe O'Neill, although when you get horses, you know, as enthusiastic as he is, and Newbury, you put him on his favourite track as well. Obviously, he's been there, you know, many times before, and he's got a great record of the track, so knows it inside out. But his jumping was superb. He looked great. You know, if it's a soft ground, attritional kind of Gold Cup, then he's banging the mix again. And, you know, I think Connections, or they're at least considering a national bid as well. And you'd say, you know, the rhythm he got into at the weekend, you'd say, you know, he'd fly around those national fences really well too. And, you know, a couple of seasons ago, I think it was he was placed in a four-miler behind Manella Rocco and then won the Grade 1 Novice Chase at Aintree. So he's done both before and he can perform at both festivals. So he wouldn't be top of my radar for the Gold Cup, but I could see him running really well again and kind of putting himself right in the frame for a national bid.
Yeah, interesting if the owners decide to go that way. I know they've been quite cold on it in the past. I mean, this weekend for me, it just outlined the longevity of National Hunt racing and why people love it so much with these old warriors coming back. Tom, I know Native River was on your radar as an each-way play for the Gold Cup. Did he enhance those claims at the weekend?
He didn't do anything more than anyone was expecting, did he? But I just think if it's a soft ground Gold Cup, he'll run really well. If it's fast ground, one of the younger horses will beat him. But, you know, there's nothing to take out of it, is it? He bottled along on out front, ran, you know, jumped well, finished his race well. What's not to like? Perfect prep. On to Cheltenham we go. Hopefully he won't miss the start this time and gives himself a chance of sort of dominating and getting them at it. The thing about the Gold Cup is it's a totally different race to all the other ones that these chasers run in every season. These sort of Grade 1 chasers tend to be over 3 miles. It's a proper stamina test and it suits him. And yeah, he's just the type of horse that will run in the frame. Whether he can win, whether, you know, one of these younger horses goes past him, it's eminently possible, but I think he'll finish in the four anyway.
And Tom mentioned the start, Darren, more of that in just a moment, but Native River for the Gold Cup, do you think he's going to have quite a few fans, or are people going to be looking for the younger legs, as Tom insinuated?
I think most people will look for the younger legs, but as I said last week, I'd be inclined to agree with Tom on this one. Native River is capable of producing a high level of form, particularly when he gets his conditions. He likes Cheltenham, obviously, and if he can run to his very best, that's a reasonable standard for the others to come and get. We went 10 from 12 for the Gold Cup, just to get a full run down the betting here. Again, it's not run or no bet. Alpine Photo is 7-2. Santini is 4s. Delta Work is 5s. Lost Translation 13-2. Canada Zobo and Ten Boy are 7s. Native River is 10s. Presenting Percy is 10s. And it's 20s bar after that. We also put in 16s from 25s for the Grand National. So that's been kind of touted as a potential target for him post Cheltenham. Yeah, I thought this was fine. I'd be apathetic enough. He did what he had to do. Didn't do anything spectacular, but he didn't spoil his chance either, if you get me. He was fine. He was perfect.
Okay, and we're going to talk a bit more about the Grand National later. Would you guys give him much of a chance, Darren? Do you think the Grand National would be preferable over the Gold Cup if you owned him?
Yes. Yeah, it probably would, to be honest. It's obviously a bigger pot. I won't say an easier race, but I think it would suit his talents better. Not to say the Gold Cup wouldn't suit him, but like if you've got a soft ground entry, nice flat track, and you just kind of point and shoot with him, he's not out the back, he's not going to get caught by anything falling in front of him. Generally, he'd be there or thereabouts in the van. Yeah, I'd be inclined to think he'd be a massive candidate for it if they decided to go that way, but could the Gold Cup spoil his chance? Sorry.
Yeah, I know Many Clouds, I think he ran in the Gold Cup before he won the Grand National, didn't he? A couple of other horses have used it for a prep in recent years, Monmo maybe. The Betfair Hurdle then, sorry?
Synchronised,
yeah, of course. Yeah. The Betfair Hurdle then was the big betting race of the weekend, and it was a dramatic race, really. There was a false start, then a standing start, then lightly squeezed, who was in the front, came down at the final flight, bringing down Harambe and Mac the Man, who was fancied by many. So plenty to chew over here. Big social media reaction to this with regards to standing starts. A lot of people felt it was an unsatisfactory race. Darren, what would you say to that?
Yeah, I thought this was crap, to be honest. They all finished in a big heap. This crap standing starts, just ridiculous. They're not race cars. You're not turning the key and putting it into first and taking off. they're edgy, they want to go, they're already buzzed up at the big occasion, and you're asking them to go from standing still to going full pelt in the space of 3 seconds. I think this is starters looking for attention. You saw the same thing at Cheltenham last year. It always seems to happen on a Saturday when the cameras are rolling. You get the guy away from the flag in an exorbitant sort of fashion. Look at me, I'm the boss here. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. It spoils the race. Give them 3 or 4 goals, and if they're still not behaving after that, still not doing what you want them to do, fine. But this kind of crawling up the start, they're race horses, they're not race cars. They don't, you know, you can't control their speed to the same granularity as you can with a car. I just think it just leaves everyone with a sour taste in their mouth. And then the race itself, I didn't put up too much either, to be honest.
Mm. And from a punting perspective, do you think punters have a right to be aggravated when there's a standing start? Does it impact much on the punter?
Yeah, as in, everyone's being affected the same. So it's not like half the people are being, you know, ruined and the other half aren't. You know, they all have to start the same way. But yeah.
And some were disadvantaged, though. I mean, if you're back not so sleepy, you might as well have kissed goodbye to your ticket.
Absolutely. No, that's a fair point. Yeah, no, look, it's unsatisfactory for everybody, for the people at the races, the punters, the jockeys, the connections with the horses. It's unsatisfactory from everyone's point of view, and I think a complete overhaul of how they do this should be looked into.
Yeah, I agree. Well, a couple of years ago, they seemed to trot them in all the time, and that was absolutely fine. I'm not sure maybe the sort of legislation's changed around why they have to have standing starts. Tom, you've been agreeing with Darren far too much today. What have you got to say on this one?
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because they have a shot, don't they? I mean, I agree with Darren fundamentally. Believe it or not, Darren, I do agree with you. I think it's a bit silly that we have a race like the Betfair that is dominating everyone. All they're talking about at the end of it is the start. That shouldn't be the case, should it? But it's still a bit of a test of the horse as well, isn't it? If you can't, you know, to win big races, you've got to have everything, haven't you? You've got to have the temperament, you've got to have the ability, you've got to be able to jump, you've got to do all this. If you can't handle a standing start...
But how much of it is just luck?
Well, there's a bit of luck. Of course there is a bit of luck. Very much so. I mean, but, you know, Native Rivers, not so sleepy, he's a bit of a nutter, isn't he? Pulls hard, he does things wrong. That's him. And so you sort of know when you're backing him that there is a chance. Lots of times in the past things have gone wrong with him. Having said that, if I'm not a social media watcher at all, and in fact, I'm never a social media watcher, so I wouldn't know anything about it. But if that's what's coming out after the race and they're all saying that spoiled the race, then clearly there's something wrong. So for me, I don't know. I don't know what you can do. Maybe give them,
change it back to jogging in instead, not all standing in a line.
Yeah, it's not always fairest on everyone though as well, is it? If you keep doing that, so I don't know. I think whatever. You just got to get these horses off. And I think, having read what everyone said, they should have just let them go the first time. And if you're not right, then that's a disadvantage. You know, you've got to be able to walk in and be in a line. If you can't do it, then that's your disadvantage. A bit like if you stand up and you're a keen puller and you miss the break and you're scared of the tape, that's your disadvantage. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's disadvantages and advantages for both horses, for all types of horses. So for me, get them walking in and get them off. Simple as that.
Okay. Watsy.
Yeah, I'd largely agree with what Darren said in particular. I'd do away with standing starts myself, and if they don't get them off the first time, then just have another go next time. And obviously, you know, make sure the jockeys are very aware that, you know, they're on borrowed time. If you can't get them off the first or second time and they're still, you know, not doing as they should, then obviously, you know, penalties can be looked at. But I mean, I don't actually see the start of the race on Saturday, so I wouldn't like to comment on that too much. But I have seen other starts, obviously.
It happens a lot, doesn't it?
It happens a lot, and quite often you're in the stands or you're watching on TV and you look at it and you go, what on earth was wrong with that? They're all in the perfect line. Why haven't you just let them go? And it's very frustrating to watch. It's just annoying. And if it puts your horse at a disadvantage, then obviously the annoyance is doubled or trebled, and you do get that possibility with standing starts. So, you know, I think, yeah, certain responsibility lies with the starter to make sure they get them off first time, you know. And it's not an easy job, I'm sure, being a starter. I haven't never stood at the start and tried to let, you know, 20 thoroughbreds line up and try and get them off.
Have
it.
You
I haven't. No, I haven't been asked yet. No.
Has your wife done it, or is she still caddying for you, or sitting in your pod?
No, she's too busy caddying for me, Tom. You know, and looking after the baby as well.
Oh,
so
okay.
She hasn't been asked yet. She hasn't got any spare time at the moment.
It's only a matter of time before you're put on the rostrum.
Yeah, but no, it could be improved, and it's unsatisfactory for all concerned. When you get false starts, you know, it's a nightmare. And you know, we've got the Grand National coming up, and you want to see the game in the best possible light. So let's get them off first time. If not, then try again second time, and then, you know, look at stiff penalties for any jockeys that aren't playing ball.
Yeah, agreed. That's our take on standing and false starts then. But what of the race, Tom? Pick Doherty won it. Not so sleepy, apparently, is still going to go for the champion hurdle. Pick Doherty may well go that way as well. What do you think of the finish?
It was a messy race from start to finish, wasn't it? What you got to say, though, is I was impressed with the winner. I was very impressed with the winner. Just the way he travelled. Paul Nicholls has always said it's one of the best horses he's ever had. Ran it straight in the Triumph Hurdle last year. I mean, he was running off 146, second top weight, wasn't he? In fact, if you take the claim off Gumball, he was giving weight to everything in the race, wasn't he? And for his third start in this country, the way he travelled and the way he picked up again after the last, I thought he was quite impressive. I really did. I mean, you know.
Impressive enough to run and perhaps win the champion hurdle?
Oh, I don't know about that, but can definitely run in it, can't he? Whether, you know, I could run in it, but I'm not sure I'd win it either. But it's hard. I mean, it's not a very good champion hurdle, isn't it? I mean, he if people are talking about not so sleepy running, going back and running in it, then why can't he run in it? He was giving not so sleepy weight on Saturday and beat him half the length of the track, whatever the circumstances. So after only three runs, he's surely done as much as the likes of Pentland Hills. Is that a harsh one to say? But sort of some horse like that, and he's 7-1. So I don't know. I'd run him. It was good effort, wasn't it? It had to be.
Darren, what were you going to say?
Not so sure about that now. That's a bit of an overstatement. As in, like, he's beaten Selden Age there. I think Willie Mullins would tell you that would be a 500-1 shot in a bad champion hurdle, much less a half-decent one. Remelup, 11 years of age, right for connections and all that. But again, he's not even beaten a length. If they want the day out, fine. Like, tickets to Cheltenham are expensive. So if you want to be tickets free, you enter your horse on the Tuesday, fire ahead. But I wouldn't even see him getting round, to be honest. This far, he needs to step up massively again. This is only a handicap.
He wouldn't get round. What are you saying? He's going to fall?
What I mean is he'd be left in dust, I think. I really don't think he's going.
It's one of those Irish ones, like head in the mouth and open and chewing grass or whatever we had last week, you know. I don't know. Look, what did he get? 150 Racing Post rating? What's Pentland Hills got? 154? I don't know. It's not much in it, is there? I mean, I'd run him if he was mine. You know, he's only had three runs, hasn't he?
The Champion Hurdle is such a bad race this year, or such an open race, that if you've got anything that you think might have a chance, give it a crack. So pick Doherty, he might have, you know, quite a bit to find. But, you know, in one of these years when absolutely nothing is standing out, and two more were ruled out last week, Saldi and Classical Dream.
Yes.
If you've got something on the fringes, why would you not give it a go?
Worthy point.
This is a wider point. We don't necessarily have to get too deeply into this, but RPR is earning handicaps and RPR is earning graded races. While they might appear quite close, they aren't the same. I think this is the issue with the British handicapping system at the moment, is that the horses rated between 140 and about 150, 155, they're massively inflated. They're only really 135, 140 horses, whereas your horses at the upper echelon, 160 plus, are actually massively underrated. So you get situations where you have handicappers, you know, running off 160. If they were to run against horses who run only in graded races, not handicaps off 160, they wouldn't get next year near them. It's just a flaw in the handicapping system. If that RPR 150 isn't worth anywhere close to the 154 the Pentland Hills aren't.
Bollocks.
Very
on,
interesting.
Next question.
Do you reckon?
Right, we're moving
bollocks.
On.
Next question.
I love this. We need to get you two on every week to have a sparring match.
Well, look, all I can say is that, you know, I trust Paul Nicholls. And Paul Nicholls thinks that this is one of the best horses in his yard. If that's the case, he can run higher than 150. He can run 160, 170, whatever he likes. And if they think, you know, if it's a wide open year, run him. Why not?
Okay, let's move on. Warwick then. Rouge Vif beat Nubi Negra in the Kingmaker. Obviously, Nubi Negra isn't entered in the Arkle. He's not going to go. But Rouge Vif has some of the best form with the British novice chasers over 2 miles. He was behind Put the Kettle On at Cheltenham and then second to Global Citizen in the Wayward Lad at Christmas. Is he an Arkle contender, Watsy? Do you think he's up to that?
Yeah, I'll definitely throw him in there. It's great for Kate Brooks, isn't it? Their ownership team, they've got him, Simply the Bets and Itchy Feet. They've got a cracking set of novice chasers. And
the money they're putting into the game is really starting to pay off now, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I thought he won very nicely at the weekend. And I think the Kingmaker's quite a good trial for the Arkle. I like horses that can go to Warwick and win as he did, because Warwick is a really stiff jumping track. They come thick and fast down the back, and you have to meet all of them spot on, especially over 2 miles as he was running over at the weekend. And, you know, I thought he was great in that department. He had Nubi Negra, who's absolutely no mug whatsoever, beaten quite a long way out, and he's gone on and won comfortably. So, yeah, I think they've got every right to go for the Arkle. Yeah, I'm sure he's a decent price for that as well. But I think if you win the Kingmaker, recognised trial for the race as well as he's just won it at the weekend, then, yeah, you're entitled to go.
Yeah, St. Calvados in the same ownership won it a couple of years ago, didn't he? And this horse reminds me of him a little bit. Tom, Rouge Vif.
Like him. Thought he was really good. Agree with everything Watsy said, Warwick. Best track in the country for learning, getting horses to jump quickly. Those fences down the back there come at you thick and fast. Thought it was a really good race, a really good time. Nubi Negra's good, Precious Cargo. I know Nicky Henderson was thinking about sending him to the Arkle. I think the form's really strong. I don't love the Irish form, the Irish novices over 2 miles.
We touched on that last week, didn't we?
Yeah, I don't love Notebook or Cashback or any of those that much. And I think he's got a chance. I think I'm very surprised he's still 16, 20 to 1 or whatever he is. I thought after winning a trial like that in good style, he should be half those odds.
Okay, Darren, just remind us of what price he is now.
So, yeah, we went 16 from 25 for the Arkle on the back. Let's give you a full rundown of the bet. And again, this is non-runner, no bet. Notebook is 11 to 4, pushed out from 5 to 2. Backer Dudaries is 9 to 2. Cashback is 6s. Brewing Up a Storm is 15 to 2. Mr. Fisher's 10s. Global Citizen is 11s. And it's 12s and bigger the rest.
Super. And your thoughts? You weren't overly impressed by this one?
No, I wasn't overly impressed. I thought it was grand. Because then I wouldn't be jumping out of bed about it. Like, it's fine. He could build on it. He could improve. I thought it pranked the form nicely of Global Citizen, who I think can improve a lot again. He beat Rouge Vif earlier on in the year. And I know Ben Pauling's always thought a lot of him. And he had a rough start to the year. He got it very hard to get any winners out. But if Global Citizen was to rock up in the Arkle now, I'd give him definitely a live chance. But for me, Cashback and Notebook are the two to beat. I don't really rate the English form. The exact opposite, Tom. I think there's a lot of slightly above average horses running there that are being a little slightly overrated at this point. So it'd be interesting to see when the two sides of the Irish Sea clash in 6 weeks' time.
Yeah, I can certainly empathise with that. Global Citizen, quite a buzzy horse, not that different from Not So Sleepy, we mentioned earlier on. Fresh, you know, long time since he's run, that'll probably suit him. Let's move on to what happened the rest of the week then. Shishkin won the Sydney Banks at Huntingdon. Were they testing the water to see whether he'd be a Supreme or a Ballymore horse? Tom, is he a Supreme horse? Is he a Ballymore horse? Answer the question.
Supreme. Move on.
Okay, Watsy?
God. He could run in either and he could win either. And that's the problem.
Do you think he's that good?
Listen, when I saw the entries and when they said they were going for the Sydney Banks over 2-3, my natural reaction, especially as we just had Asterion Falange winning a Grade 1 over 2 miles in Ireland, was, yeah, they're going to step him up to the Ballymore. But Nicky's come out straight afterwards and said he's going to stay and he's going to run in the first race on the Tuesday. I still don't think it's cut and dried. I could still see a little bit of toing and froing in those two divisions before the race. So if you're on him for the Supreme, I wouldn't count your chickens yet that he's going to be running in that first race. And in a way, it just muddies the waters because he won easily. He is going to stay. He'll stay no problem at all and he could win either. So, you know, it's still not cut and dried for me where he goes.
All right, Darren, you have quite a strong view on who's going to go where of the Donnelly's horses. Obviously, they've got the big getaway. They've got Asterion Falange and this horse.
Yeah, I would imagine that this lad and Asterion Falange will both run the Supreme. I don't see any issue with that. And then their other horse, the big breakaway or getaway, I'm the same as Tom, I always mix them two up. I reckon he'll go for the Ballymore. I'd be inclined to run Shishkin in the Supreme. He's not going to beat Envoilen if he goes to the Ballymore. So there's all going to run the race they can actually win in. I think this is good. This is fine. He does look like a natural two-miler. And I'd be of the opinion you need to stay to win the Supreme anyway. They do go quite hard. I think I read an article a couple of years back where they tend to go slower in the Ballymore and it tends to be kind of a sprint finish. Whereas in the Supreme, they kind of tend to go hell for leather from where I go. You really do need to have stamina to get home and to be competitive in the Supreme. Mm. And this lad has a nice mix of speed and stamina. He was able to pull away from them at the end, but he was able to lie up with them during the race. I think Assyrian Prolonge is an absolute weapon. I said to you before the show, out of all the horses that ran the weekend at the Dublin Racing Festival, I didn't get to touch on him last week. He was the one that impressed me the most. I think he is an absolute freak of nature. Okay. He'd be who I'd be on now for the Supreme at this point. I'll give you a rundown of our betting. Envoilen is 7-4 favourite. This is non-runner, no bet. So he's probably not going to go here, but if he did, he'd be a sharp price. Shishkin then is 11-4. Assyrian Prolonge is 4s. Abacadabra is 9-2. Fiddler in the Roof is 6s. Chantry House is 15-2 and it's 10 spare.
Okay, who would you guys, just quickly before we move on, who would you back in that Supreme at those prices? Darren, you would be Assyrian Prolonge, obviously. Tom?
Every day of the week, yeah.
Abacadabras, I think.
Okay, what's he?
Seeing as I'm being on Shishkin already, I'd probably go with Chantry House.
Okay, interesting.
Tom, you said last week that Envoilen's form wasn't working out and you're backing a horse.
Yeah, don't worry. It's nothing to do with that. It's nothing to do with his form.
Steady on, guys. Let's get into that in a different time. We have some sort of contentious news as well to be dealing with, and that was the stewards inquiry at Bangor between the Cashelman and Manella Trump. They reversed the decision. There was interference. Tom, first off, do you think they should have reversed that form?
Well, I haven't seen it, but if there's any doubt ever, I'm firmly in the camp that you should always throw them out. I'm totally different.
And
from
why
everyone.
Is that?
Because I think the rules favour the guilty party rather than the innocent party. And if there was any chance the other one should have won, they should always be thrown out, in my opinion. You cannot stop horses having chances to win when they've done nothing wrong and allowing the people that caused the interference to get away with it. Now, I haven't seen this one, so I can't commentate on this, can't suggest this, but the rules at the moment, I think, are the worst in the world, without a shadow of a doubt, in the fact that if nothing gets thrown out unless they get narrowly beaten. And I don't know. It's not for me. We have about 6 or 7 thrown out a year, and
that's wrong.
Well, you watch any other sport in the world and people are getting disqualified, thrown out, all the time.
Mm.
All the time. If you do something wrong, in football, you get a penalty. In rugby, you get a penalty. In yachting, you get a penalty. In a motor racing, you get a penalty. Every sport in the world, you get a penalty. But in racing, you take someone off the track, and then if they're not beaten a half a length or less, you're allowed to keep the race. To me, it's crazy, but that's the way they've gone. That's fine. That's fine, as long as it's the same all the time.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point you make, because, Darren, you and I are both of the opinion that they should be consistent whatever they choose to do, but you don't think this was in line with that?
No. I started off by saying I actually agree with Tom, unusually. The guilty party is always favoured, as in it, and I think more to the point, it actually encourages dangerous riding. And I'm not suggesting that jockeys are going to try and kill each other, far from it. But if you know that you're not going to lose the race by putting the nose off something and, that might be 50-50, you're going to do it because everyone wants to win. If all you're going to get is maybe a fine and the race isn't going to be taken off you, you're going to do whatever you can to win. And it just, that encourages that sort of behaviour. This particular case, I didn't think there was that much in it. I have no issue with them throwing out Manella Trump. There would have been 20 cases in the week previous that were as bad or worse that no one even mentioned. I was shocked this one through the stewards inquiry initially, because they don't seem to do this. So consistency is what we need. I think, again, a complete overhaul of the rule from top to bottom would be helpful. And it needs to be set out very clearly what is interference and what isn't.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And I think, as you said as well, with the false starts, if you don't often see these things happen on a midweek. Is it a case of these things needing to be the same all the time? What's your take on it?
Oh, no, Tom knows the penalty structure for yachting. That's quite an unusual...
very posh me.
I'd like to hear that one day. But, I think we do see it quite a lot. I did watch the race before I came in, and it's one of those... It's a funny race because the Cashelman is 6-1 on to win the race, so you'd expect him to have put away Manella Trump before any kind of interference had happened, but he didn't. He was kind of struggling at the time. He got very tight on the rail, and you do see it happen a lot where the jockey who maybe just, and the horse who just has the initiative going to the last, or it happens on the flat as well, then they cross over, forcing the one
Is this race riding from Brian Hughes? Is it allowed?
I don't know. I haven't seen a head on, so it's hard to say. But it does happen a lot. You do see horses cross over once they hit the front, and then the one in second, there's no chance of like coming back because he's compromised. He has to pull out and then start his challenge again. And the lost ground is just too much to make up. And the Cashel man did run on very well. He got within a small margin of the Minella Trump at the line. So you can see the theory. And yeah, it's something that should be stopped. You know, you've got to try and run in straight lines, haven't you? And not compromise other horses.
Lots happened last weekend. Lots is going to happen this weekend at Ascot, as I mentioned at the top of the show. Surname, Altior was no match for him when we last saw them race against each other, and we're going to see him again on Saturday. Stay with us.
So doesn't each way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this postcast then, and we're going to look ahead to Saturday. The big race is the Ascot Chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs, a Grade 1. Illustrious Roll of Honour as ever, and this could be a really fascinating renewal. Surname's going to lead them. Frodon is in there, as well as Riders on the Storm, Janica and St. Calvados, who has been running over further trips of late. We don't have a market as of yet, and I will be going into more detail about these races on Friday, so stay tuned for our tipping postcast then. But let's get a selection quickly from each of you for the Ascot Chase. What's your go-to first? Surname, is he going to be hard to beat?
Yeah, I think it'd be impossible to beat, really. It's Surname Ascot. He's got a tremendous record there. It's perfect race for him. I was quite interested in Riders on the Storm as a kind of an each way bet before when I looked at the entries. But he's up to a mark of 162 now, so he's obviously up there. But then you look at where Surname is, and he's £15 clear of him. So that shows the task that Riders on the Storm and others of his ilk have to get anywhere near Surname. So he'll win comfortably.
Yeah, I agree with you. Rides on the Storm's a horse I'm really interested in, although on the figures, he shouldn't be getting anywhere near Surname. Tom, would you be worried that the King George took too much out of him? What did you make of that effort?
It's a bit laboured, wasn't it? But I'm with Watsy. I just think he'll win. I just think he's better than these. Riders on the Storm is looked really good. He pulls too hard, doesn't he? So having Surname in the race will be a help for him. St. Calvados, I like too. I think it's a really good race, but round Ascot, I don't think anything beats him, do they?
Yeah, and what about Cheltenham going forward? Just quickly, would you run Surname in the Ryanair? Would you give him a chance in the Ryanair?
Yeah, why not? I'd run everything I had in Cheltenham. Of course I would. But I don't think he'd win. But, the disparity in his form between right and left-handed is so marked that, I'm not one for falling for that kind of crap all the time. But it looks like that is the issue with him. So, yeah, I'd run him, see what happens.
Okay, and Darren, finally.
We actually just got prices through there, Maddie, in the last minute.
Run us through them.
It was first Surname is 8-15. Riders in the Storm is 11-4. Rono in 6s. Janica is 10s. Then Calvados is 14s. Top Notch is 14s. And Traffic Fluid runs them out at 66-1.
God, that's very short for Rides on the Storm. I was hoping for a little bit bigger. If you were going to have a bet in this race, who would it be on?
Surname 5 lengths or more. I think he just wins this handy enough. The rest of them aren't up to his level.
Nice and straightforward then. Haydock staged the Grand National Trial. This has been informative in recent years. Do you remember when Neptune Collange ran in it before he won the Grand National? Truckers Lodge, who was second in the Welsh version, runs here alongside Lord Domineel, the Tommy Whittle and the Last Fling winner. So some in-form horses are going to be taking each other on. Darren, any prices for this one?
Surely, yeah. Truckers Lodge for Paul Nicholls is our 4-1 favourite. Ramsey Zatea coming back from his hurdle stint is 5-1. Lord Domineel is 11-2. Yala Enki is 13-2. Elegant Escape is 7s. The Two Amigos is 7s. Vintage Clouds is 10-1. Geronimo is 11s. Valiotic is 11-1. And it is 14s and bigger the rest.
And brilliant. And your selection is, Darren?
I thought One for Arthur had shown a little bit more spark in his last couple of starts. And he's back down to the same mark he won the Grand National of 148 a couple of years ago. He's obviously his form around Haydock, and he's won there on bottomless ground. And, you know, horse form is quite important at Haydock, especially when the ground does get very soft. He's 14-1 with us for this. As I said, he's shown it more in his last couple of starts, and enough to make me think he could put up a good showing, especially off the mark of 148. So I will put him up as a tentative selection for this race.
Do you know what? When I was looking at it, I thought exactly the same. Tom?
I didn't. I can assure you of that.
Of course you wouldn't. You're disagreeing with Darren again.
I think he's got no chance. I like Vintage Clouds myself. I know he's gone up a lot in the weights. He wanted to go up whatever, £10, something like that for his win the other day. But I just think Heavy Ground, Haydock, incredibly impressive. He could have won by half a furlong last time. I thought that was equally as good a race as this one. I think he stays forever. I think everything's in his play, in his favour, and I think he's in better form now than he has been for ages. So he would be my selection.
Okay, and Nick Watts.
I quite like Jarl Arenki. Won the race a few years ago by a massive margin. That was on really, really heavy ground, and if it's similar ground this weekend, he'll go well. But just an interesting point you mentioned about going on to the Grand National. Winners of this race have got an absolutely abominable record in going forward to the Grand National. So,
oh, they have. I thought I picked out. Oh, winners. You mean?
Winners. Winners have got a dreadful record. No horse, I don't think in history, has ever followed up. Well, not certainly not for a very long time, has won this and then gone on to win the Grand National. So if you do fancy one for Arthur, the boys have mentioned there, I'm massively interested in him for Aintree. Ran very well last season off a dreadful preparation, showing more signs of life, but almost don't want him to win this on Saturday and just run a nice race in third and fourth. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he fares when the national weights are out tomorrow, aren't they?
Yeah. I certainly agree with that. We're going to take another quick break now before we read out some of your questions. Stay tuned.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back then to this Monday postcast. This is our final segment, and as we have been doing for the last couple of weeks, I'm going to read out some of your questions. If I don't ask them now, make sure to try again next week and hopefully we'll get you in there at some point. First off is Paul Smith. Hello, Paul. He says, is sending Mike Bite to take on Tiger Roll in the cross country a stroke of genius or absolute madness? I personally think the latter. Nick Watts, what do you think of this? Obviously, Mike Bite, it was a bit more like him on Saturday against Native River, but there wasn't a lot of encouragement there, was there?
Yeah, I'd agree. I'd agree with you. It's a bit of a deathbed conversion to cross-country fences, isn't it? And Nick Henson said he's, schooled him over all sorts at home and he's been loving it, but there's a world of difference between having a day out and having a bit of fun at home than doing it on the race course. Yeah, he's 11-year-old now. He hasn't been showing much spark. He may have showed a bit more at the weekend, but he just saw off Artois Phil for fourth. And Artois Phil is one of those horses that's been around for a long time, who's pretty regressive as well. Now in the Gary Moore stable.
I've just backed him for the Grand National.
Oh, jeez. There we go. You might make me my words. But Native River, Mike Bite. It's not madness. It's worth a try. But do I fancy him to win it? No.
We were talking about this in the office before we came on air, and a lot of people were saying, just retire him now, as it's going to sort of take away from his legacy. Tom, on Mike Bite, before we get to your Artois Phil point, what do you think about cross country?
I love them. I love the cross country race. I really do. I've always liked him.
But for Mike Bite?
Yeah, why not? He's a racehorse. What's he going to do? Yeah. Toddle around Doncaster and Cheltenham for, finishing fifth? We give him a chance. We had this with Forheen not long ago. Retire him, retire him. He's a racehorse. The owners like him. He's happy. Run him. Do whatever you like.
He looks like he's reluctant to go through the pain barrier. What do you think, Darren? What?
Yeah, I think I was just about to say, I actually think he's shown a lot more spark than people are giving him credit for, and that he's travelling through his races very well, but he's really not seeing them out. Like, he doesn't want to know when push comes to shove. He's always been a bit of an oddball. I don't know. I'd be inclined just to leave him off.
Okay.
Whatever. I don't care really one way or the other. I haven't got a chance.
Okay, Tom, sorry, what were you going to add?
Well, nothing. I just think, they're a product of the owners. I've got greyhounds with me here. I take them for a walk. Sometimes I don't want to go, but that's what they do. He's a racehorse. If the owners want to run him, no problem.
Yeah, fair play. And out to our field, just give us a word on why you think he's a Grand National horse.
I just thought he ran really well in the race last year. Came 10th off a terrible prep. He's gone to Gary Moore. He's obviously been trained for the race. He's down a stone nearly. I thought he ran really well on Saturday. There was a slow pace. He sat out the back and he finished upsides Mike Bite just behind Secret Investor. I just thought, I think he's about 66-1. I mean, I don't really think he's going to win, but he's just sort of a fun bet for me in the Grand National at a huge price.
He did sort of catch the eye, didn't he? Now, the infamous Icy Tentacles has been in with a very, very important question. I need all your professional insight on this one. He says, I have to defrost the fridge today. Should I take all the food out or can I leave it in? Now, I'm not sure how this works, but I'd definitely take it out. I don't think you can leave food in whilst you're defrosting a fridge. Are you a man of the home? What can you offer?
I'm a man of the home, but I'm happy to leave this one to him. I've got no thoughts on it one way or the other. I don't know what he has in this fridge. Is it worth saving? Is it 2 day old food? A bit of leftovers or what? I don't know.
Okay, Tom, any thoughts?
You've blown it, Maddie. It's a fridge and then there's a freezer. You can leave the stuff in the fridge, but you got to take the stuff out the freezer. You have, you know, you defrost your freezer. The fridge doesn't get frosty.
Well, this is just a question I got.
Oh, my heathens. Everyone knows how to defrost a fridge.
What if his fridge had been on too high a temperature and everything has gone icy? Then what?
Well, he's a complete clown. If he's, you know, if his fridge has gone icy, that doesn't happen, does it?
Yeah, it does. It has happened to me before. Anyway, Darren, I mean, you answered this on Twitter. It's good to hear everyone laughing. Just a silly question. What does he do?
Yeah, it's fairly cold over here, so I told him to leave his stuff outside the front door and, you know, it'll stay fresh out there while he does it. I will say, in fairness, one of the more entertaining characters on Race Twitter, he is worth a follow if you want a bit of a laugh, but not really sure how to take this one.
There we go. Put it outside. Ingenious. Right, Daniel Harold says, did we see any potential festival winners over the weekend? I'm not sure we did, despite Altior winning. Tom?
Yeah. Potentially, yeah. I mean, every horse that wins is potentially a winner.
Oh, come on now.
Well, I do. I think Altior will win. I thought a horse that ran at, I can't remember, it was Aramax of Gordon Elliott's, looked like he might win the Boodle's Hurdle somewhere along the line. I know he's quite well regarded. Right. He's quite well regarded. And I thought Native River ran really well. And, you know, there's plenty of them. Chantry, yeah. Hundreds. Of course they can. You can't rule any of them out.
Okay, Darren, do you just wanted to interject there?
No, I actually have Aramax down in my notes as well. I was going to mention him as one of the potential ones on the weekend. Glad to hear Tom agrees. And yeah, Altior with the champion chase. So yes, Daniel, to answer your question, definitely some potential winners on the weekend.
Okay, so we'll look back on Saturday as key with the festival in mind. The Podgy Punter, I like that. With the weights for the National coming out tomorrow, do you expect Tiger Roll to be given a high enough rating to encourage more top-class horses to run, e.g. Native River, avoiding top weight? And will Tiger Roll be good enough again to beat this? What's your big National fan?
This is the big story of the week, isn't it? What weight Tiger Roll is given. You know, Gigginstown have been very forthright in their opinion about what mark he can run off and what mark he can't run off. Some might see that as blackmail a little bit. I'm sure the British handicapper will do what he thinks and hopefully irrespective of kind of outside interference. It's something we get every year at this time of year with Gigginstown horses. They won three of the last four Grand Nationals, so I'm not sure they've got a huge amount to complain about, but they have complained in the past about the marks their horses have been given relative to others. It'll be very interesting to see what happens tomorrow. We can't call it yet. We haven't seen what the handicapper has done, but you know, they'll either be very happy or they'll be keeping the horse at home.
Tom, I mean, I think this, if Martin Greenwood is to listen or take heed of what Gigginstown have been saying, I think that's absolutely appalling. I think he's got a job to do and he shouldn't really take into account anything other than the facts and figures. What do you reckon?
Oh, he won't do anything else, will he? I mean,
no.
That's his job. He's going to handicap him as he sees fit. It's a load of nonsense every year we get with these national weights. They're exactly the same as any handicapper would come out with nearly every single year. They even drop the top one a couple of pounds and so he gets in, and you know, there's 50 others rated with about £10 of them, as they should be, as on their marks, as they should be. So it's a load of old nonsense. If they don't run, they're mad. Simple as that. Give the horse a shot at immortality and let him run. Whatever. Well, they're not going to give him. Then he's not going to have to give a stone to Native River, is he?
Yeah, exactly. And do you think it'll be good enough to overcome whatever mark they hand him?
I think it's a weird race. Understand the Grand National. I used to. I don't understand it anymore. He's got a great chance of winning it again, I would imagine, whatever they do with him.
Yeah, it'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? Darren, anything to add on Gigginstown? I know they kicked off about some of the Cheltenham marks, didn't they?
Yeah, it's just a bit of noise. Like, it's a bit of crap. It kind of adds to the whole atmosphere. I don't expect your handicapper to pass any remarks or any heed on what they say. I think it's just a bit of fun. Like, the O'Learys are great crap. When you stop taking what they say, literally, Michael is the exact same, and just take it as a bit of fun. That's all it is. People get very wound up about this sort of thing. It's absolutely, the lads are only messing, like, they don't mean it. To answer Podgy Punter's question, do I expect to give him a high enough rating? Yes, I reckon there's a reasonable chance he'll have to carry top weight. Will he be good enough to beat him again? After last year, I would be loath to oppose him. I won't be backing him by any manner of means, but I certainly will not say he can.
Okay, hopefully we will see Tiger Roll on Sunday in that Boyne hurdle that he won so brilliantly last year. On that note as well, we'll be about on Friday to give you all the best bets you need for the weekend's action. So best of luck with your tips and your bets before then. And I'll see you again on Friday.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Getting a road named after you in your hometown Special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. Begambleaware.org.